thy word shall be my light through death's veil and dreary night. Yea, they are my sword prevailing and my cup of joy unfailing. Precious Jesus, I beseech thee, may thy words take root in me. May this gift from heaven enrich me, so that I bear fruit for thee. Take them never from my heart, till I see thee as thou art. When in heavenly bliss and glory, I shall greet thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Arise for our help and redeem us. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but you planted our fathers because you favored them. You have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever.
With that.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that through thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast sown thy holy word among us. We pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may diligently and reverently hear thy word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience, and that we may not incline to sin, but subdue it by thy power, and in all persecutions comfort ourselves with thy grace and continual help, through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson for this Sexagesima Sunday is found in the 8th chapter of Amos, the 11th and 12th verses. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Let the nations know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind.
Our epistle lesson is found in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 19th verse, through the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, reading as follows. For you put up with fools gladly, seeing that you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you in the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here ends the epistle lesson.
O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me.
The gospel for this day is found in the 8th chapter of Luke, the 4th through the 15th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word of God with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 500.
Pasture is thy
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 8th chapter of Luke, the 4th through the 15th verse. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprung up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Redeemed in Jesus Christ, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. What a way to end a parable. You can imagine the audience of Jesus saying, "Is that it? What a dumb parable. A sower goes out to plant his fields, and he doesn't pay attention to what he's doing, and he throws his seed around everywhere. He wastes it as if he doesn't care where it goes. Most of the seed falls on bad ground. Some of it falls on good ground and grows and bears fruit. The end." That's it? That's your parable? Everyone knows that you sow seed in good soil. Some teacher you are, Jesus. But Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And with those words, he pretty much invited his audience to ask for more, to learn the meaning, to truly hear what he had said. But most of them had had enough of this kind of talk. And so it is only a few, his disciples, who were not so quick to dismiss Jesus when he seemed to be talking trivial nonsense. Those who have ears to hear do indeed hear what Jesus says in his word. And as they hear, the word takes root, and it springs up to new life, and it bears fruit. Those who do not have ears to hear, but are choked with the cares of the world, or whose heart is hard, or who listen and then the devil comes and takes away the word, well, they too hear the words that Jesus speaks, but they go their way and they get no blessing, benefit, or hope from what he said. God is at work in the word and promise of Jesus, but they are deaf to God's word, and they are ignorant of his ways. Isn't it remarkable? The way people reacted to this parable demonstrates the truth which the parable itself is teaching. The good soil. The disciples who listened to Jesus and asked the question, "What does this mean?" are already bearing fruit. They hear Jesus' words and they desire to hear more of Jesus' words, because that is the fruit of Jesus' preaching. When he speaks, when men hear him, they want to hear more. They never grow tired of hearing the words of Jesus because he is Christ. He is the Son of God, and his words are the words of everlasting life. But to most people, the word of Jesus is little better than the braying of donkeys or the bleating of sheep. They hear him just fine when he says things like, love your enemies, and bless those who curse you, and turn the other cheek. But when he says things like, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Suddenly they want nothing to do with the word of Jesus. It sounds like foolish mumbling to them. They cannot understand it. In other words, they will gladly hear and receive that part of the word of Jesus which condemns them to death because of their sins. But when he speaks the gospel and offers and imparts the forgiveness of sin, they want nothing to do with it. Instead, they become hostile to his words. Their hearts are hard, like the trampled pathway that runs along the field. Nothing can grow on it. Therefore, Jesus speaks in parables, so that such people hear but do not understand. For they will only grow more hostile and blaspheme God's word more as they hear it. But to those who believe Jesus' words, the parables are made clear, and the mysteries of the kingdom of God are opened to their understanding. It is the same word that falls on both hearts, but it is precious only to the few who hear and believe it. When in the hardness of their hearts, men persistently refuse the grace of God, God finally abandons them to their unbelief. He sends what we heard of in our Old Testament lesson, a famine of the word. But it is a strange famine because men are starving as they are surrounded by food. That is how it is with God's word. God's word is always there. It is always being preached. The sowers of God's word continue to go out, casting it about, even when it is being trampled underfoot. And though that seems like a foolish thing to do indeed, that God would bother saying anything at all to people who are hardened against him. Imagine if God would not do this, but instead would simply take away his word from men. But then how would poor Christians believe the word, be fed and nourished, and know that their sins are forgiven? What would they eat? How will they endure until the end? For the sake of those who still believe, Jesus causes his word to be preached so that his people still are fed, even though the hard-hearted will not hear it even when it is right under their noses. And indeed, since we are the instruments by whom God sends forth his word into this world, how else could we possibly spread his word abroad but to everyone? For who are we to decide whose heart is hard and will not hear it? It was just such a famine of the word that had come upon Israel. They are represented in the parable itself, the hard wayside ground upon which the seed falls but is trampled underfoot and the birds of the air devoured it. They belong to the devil and the devil wants to keep them. They are not innocent victims, but the devil's own spiritual children. And they are not alone in this world. Will you be among them on the day of judgment and join them in accusing God? It is your fault that I am this way, that I made the choices that I did, that I committed many sins, that I did not believe on your Son as I should have. And if you think that you surely will not be among them, then ask yourself, why are you so sure that you will not be joining the hard-hearted on that day? Is it because you are better than they are? Is it because you are stronger than the devil and you do not have to worry about his temptations? Is it because you are holy enough not to be caught up in the sins of the flesh? That is what the Jews thought too, who once boasted, "We are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man." And while there are very few Lutherans who may be able to say the same thing about their human genealogy, we have our own version of it when we smugly assert, "We are Lutherans. We are Orthodox. We know the difference between law and gospel. We baptize babies. We're not in bondage to any man. If you think that way, if you think that will make you judgment-proof, then just remember who learned the meaning of this parable, who it was that Jesus actually taught on that day. He taught his disciples, those who already believed on him. He warned them against being hard-hearted, against the snares of Satan's temptations, who tries to steal the word of God from them, against giving up on the faith at any sign of trouble. Why give them so many warnings if they were the good ground? Because one of Satan's most successful traps is to convince Christians that they are just fine. They can't possibly fall away. There's no reason, then, to be concerned with the warnings which Jesus here gives. You can sit on your laurels. In fact, there's no need to be concerned about the word of Jesus and his sacraments at all. You're already saved. There's really no reason to be concerned with Jesus at all. And so, there you have it. Christians who once heard the word of God do fall away. Because they no longer have a use for the words of Jesus. That is why Jesus speaks this parable to his disciples, and not just to the hard-hearted brethren of theirs in Israel. That is why he speaks it to you, so that you will not be caught up in your own worthiness and faithfulness so much that you find yourself without his word in the end, and lost. Only the word, only the seed, can give you life. You did not create that life. You did not water yourself. You did not decide to grow up into a fruitful plant. You did not send Jesus into the world to save sinners. You did not cause him to become flesh and blood. You did not ordain that he would take your sins upon himself and bear your guilt. And you did not appease God's wrath against your sin with his sacrifice. You did not raise up Jesus from the dead. And you did not call the apostles and send them out preaching. You didn't do anything. Everything that you are and have was given to you as a gift from God, as it is when a sower simply sows seed and the ground receives the seed and it gets wet, and before you know it, here is this plant where before there was nothing. And it produces fruit not because the ground made it happen, but because that is just what good seed produces. Therefore, do not find your hope in the fact that you are good ground. For what good is soil without seed? Instead, rejoice in the word of God and gladly hear and learn it. Hear it when it condemns sin in your flesh, and repent and believe it as God declares that your sins are forgiven in his Son Jesus. There is your assurance. There is the certainty of your salvation, not in the soil, but in the seed. You are kept and safe from the devil because you have the word of Jesus and you continuously hear it and believe it. And just as you can only rejoice that God has continued to preach repentance and the remission of sins into your heart throughout your life by continuing to sow his seed in you, so also you can rejoice that he continues to do it for others. And with the seed in the parable, so it is that through us, his church, we spread abroad the seed into all the world. And though the world may think it foolish, we cast it everywhere, on the hard ground, on the rocky soil, among the weeds, because we do not determine the outcome. That is in God's hands alone. And Jesus does not want you to be discouraged and think that just because only some receive the word of God and bear fruit, that it's a waste of time to preach and teach and bear witness of God's word to the world. Look at Jesus' own preaching. Out of the thousands of Judea, how many believed? A mere handful. Jesus wasted his word on everyone else. Nevertheless, Jesus continued to preach. he sent his disciples to do the same thing, telling them, if they will not receive you in one city, then shake the dust from off your feet and go to the next. That is the way it is when God's word is sown. And if it is so even for Jesus, why should any of us think it should be different with our preaching and teaching and witness? Therefore, do not be so arrogant as to think that you bear responsibility for the success or failure of your Christian witness. As if only you had better answers. If you had been more kind, or maybe more harsh. If you'd used a more congenial tone of voice. If you'd taken more time to learn how people think. Then God's word would have had success. As if somehow you're able to make God's word more powerful than it already is, and can do more with it than Jesus did. But all this is foolishness. When you plant corn, you don't make the seed have life. And so also, even if you are as faithful as Jesus himself in proclaiming the gospel, and of course none of us are, you still could not make the gospel bear fruit. The result will still be that some will not hear at all. Some will hear for a while, but fall away. And a few will hear it and gladly bear much fruit. God alone grants faith. God alone causes the fruits of faith to spring forth. And what wonderful news that is. For that means that you do not have to do anything at all, but simply receive what God has given to you in the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. He works the rest in you. He makes the seed grow. And when you are afraid that you have not been good enough soil for his word, then do not be afraid. Because just as the word of God is seed, so also it is a hammer that breaks stony ground into pieces and prepares it to be fruitful ground. Today the grace of God in Jesus Christ comes to you. And it has the power, as always, to grant you life. And so be of good cheer and believe the words of your Savior. Confess your sins unto him, and he shall receive you and give to you everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O Lord God, who art gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy, who art good to all and whose tender mercies are over all thy works. Fulfill now the desire of them that call upon thee and hear our prayer. In thankfulness and humility we bow in spirit before thee, O God, for commending thy love to us in the death of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. We acknowledge our transgression. Our sin is ever before us. As thou hast revealed our sin to us by thy holy law, show us also the atoning sacrifice of Christ, by whom thou hast revealed that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Continue to sow the seed of thy word, and grant that the ground of our hearts, having been prepared by thy Spirit, who is ever present and active in thy word, might continue to receive this seed with gladness, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Save and defend thy church from evil, and grant unto all faithful pastors at home and abroad diligence in labors, patience in sufferings, and the blessed hope of eternal life. Guard them by thy power from all perils of body or soul. For our nation, we pray, give us unselfish governors and trustworthy judges, honorable legislators, and law-abiding citizenry. Grant us success in all just wars and repentance for all our sins. Bless our homes and make them dwellings of thy Spirit, where Christ is honored in the teaching and love of parents in the obedience of their children. We beseech thy mercy upon our sick. Help them to know the power of Christ, that they may glory in their infirmities. Comfort the sorrowing, be with the lonely, strengthen the aged. Give faith in thy power and mercy to all who suffer temptation, and lead them to see that the grace of Christ is sufficient for any adversity. Especially do we ask thy blessing upon Linda Deers, that you may grant success to her in her recovery from ALS, and if not, be with her in her suffering, and remind her of the greater suffering of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who has atoned for all her sins. Let the word of Christ then dwell in us richly, in all wisdom, that we might receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, in the name and for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We sing hymn number 261. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them
us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 46.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.